and the lack of hope that others around us in the world experience, and the desire that they have for something, promise of something better. And I think we take it for granted sometimes, the hope that we have in Christ. So thank you for leading us in worship and for leading those songs. I appreciate it. I'd like to especially welcome you visitors. It's good to have Braden and Hope here and others that are visiting, some family, I think, of the Millers. So thank you for being here. Appreciate that you chose to worship with us. Some Stauffer family. And I have a cousin that stopped for the weekend. So my cousin works at Bald Eagle there and is traveling to Iowa. So often my cousins pass through without stopping. So we're grateful that they're spending the weekend with us. More importantly, we invite you to worship with us here at Sandy Ridge. We're honored that you're here, and we desire to praise the Lord together. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning. Thank you for this new day. Lord, thank you for the rain that you sent and for watering the earth. Lord, thank you that you're in control of all things. And again, we're reminded that you are a mighty God. Lord, even as we just think of the amount of rain that that we've received in the last week, Lord, it's just amazing the power that you have and the control that you have of creation. And Lord, we're honored to, we're blessed to be able to serve a mighty God, a God that is in control of all of that. And we praise you for that. Be with us this morning as we study your word. Lord, may you direct our thoughts and our hearts. May you be glorified through this service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I don't know how you find it, but at times I meet a person, and maybe more specifically someone in the church, or as you visit another church or some type of Christian type of gathering, you encounter a person that you feel a respect from them. And you feel like as a person, they honor you in some way. And sometimes you can't place your finger on it, but it's all of us kind of, or at least for myself, when I sense that, there's kind of a warming in my heart, and I sense a bond with that person. And I feel like for some reason I must mean something to them. And I think it's important that we feel that as brothers and sisters, and specifically in a church body. What is it that causes that? What is it that when we come to church, hopefully you feel that from your brothers and sisters? And more importantly, what are they doing that you feel that? But more importantly, what can you do to others that they will feel that from you? This morning's message is from Romans chapter 12. I've been preaching through Romans 12 for you that are visiting, and I'm going to focus on Romans chapter 12, verse 16. And I invite you to stand with me as we read this verse together. So if you stand, we will read together. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. The title of the message is Lost, Saved, and Respect for Others. Lost and saved. You know, if we don't have that, first of all, it's hard to live out the second part, respect for others. Because if I'm not a changed person in Christ, if Christ isn't living through me and in me, it's hard to respect others around me, because at times we don't mesh real well with people. Romans chapter 12, verse 16, let's read together. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Thank you. You may be seated. Several verses before this, is another verse that talks about relating and relationships. Verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. And then this verse talks about we should have a same mind one towards another. So what does that mean? I'm going to break this verse down into four separate sections. The first one is be of the same mind. Be of the same mind. So maybe if I were to just put it in my words, it would be to live in harmony. Sometimes as a parent, I tell my children, just get along, right? And so I'm not sure what all I mean by that, but I tell them, okay, just get along. Just, you know, I don't know what you have to do, but just get along. And that's a little bit what I think part of this verse says. It's be of the same mind. So the writer's saying, just get along. But how do we do that? As we read that, we think, be of the same mind. Well, that must mean that we have to all think alike. That must mean that we have to all have this, we have to have this cookie cutter stamp as such, and we have to all have the same ideas. We have to have the same thoughts as a church, and we have to all look the same, and we all have to be the same. But I don't think that's necessarily what he's referring to. Because God made us all uniquely different. We all have our own personalities, and we're all different. God is a God he enjoys different things. He enjoys variety. And so I don't think he's wanting us to all be a cookie cutter where we all look and think and act the same. You know, when I got married, I thought that's what marriage was all about, was that we would come together and we would just think alike, and we would have the same goals, and we would have the same ambitions and visions. And I found out that's not necessarily how it works. And in the same way, I think the church, as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, has a little bit the same relationship as we relate together. And so over the years, I began to learn that my wife and I, we don't necessarily think alike. But that's okay. But there are some things that are alike. And if we can focus on those and respect and bless our differences, we actually become stronger. We actually are able to serve the Lord in a more full way, if I can say. Our relationship, even though it's sometimes stretching, it can be good. And so as a body, I don't think it's that we all have to think alike, that we all have to agree. We don't have to have the same opinions. But there are a few things that we can do to be of the same mind. What are those? The first one is respect others' differences. So like I said in our marriage, and I'm still learning this after 20-plus years, okay? But respecting different opinion and trying to understand where the other person is coming from. Can we do that in the church body? Look around and say, well, brother, you think about this in a different way, but why is it that you think about it in that way? And begin to question and to learn from them. So respect others' differences. The second one is to see value then in others' opinions and realize that my opinion is not necessarily the only opinion, but this person over here and this person over here has a different opinion. And what is it about those that I can respect and value in those other opinions? Is there something there that I can learn? Maybe I missed something. Maybe I missed part of the big picture. Can I learn from them? You know, I think the key to this verse is earlier in the chapter, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good an acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, it's not only a change of behavior as Christians, as we accept Christ. It's not only a change of behavior, but it's even in our mind how we think. It's how we process life. It's as we face things, how we think about them. It's as we relate to one another. Those relationships begin in our mind, those interactions, how we relate to one another. And if I don't have a changed mind in Christ, it's hard to have respect to those who are around me, to have respect of a different opinion, of a different idea. So I think that's one of the keys to having the same mind, is to have a transformed mind, a changed mind, a mind that is renewed, is new in Christ. Maybe a little test of, do I have this changed mind? Is when I look around at my relationships that I do have, maybe I can start to test them and say, in those relationships, as I relate to other people, who is it that gives in when we have differences? Is it me? Am I willing to lay down my different opinion for my brother? Or do I require them to come all the way my way? Or can we meet somewhere in the middle and say, you know, I can appreciate where you're coming from. Here's where I'm coming from. And can we meet in the middle? Am I able to respect that? Or do others have to change their thinking? Whether we like it or not, we somewhat have different tiers in church, I guess, how we think of different people. Am I the person that's always trying to get on top of the pile as such? As children, we used to play, we'd get on a pile of dirt. I remember back when the school built the gym at UCS, there was a big dirt pile out there for at least a year or two north of the Ball Diamond. And I remember at recess, we would go up on this pile of dirt, right? And you would push everybody else off the side so that you could be on the top. And it was great fun as children. But is that how I live my life? Do I push other people off the pile so that I can be on top? In my relationships with others, who is it that relinquishes or gives up their ideas? Is it myself? Or do I require that of other people? Or in those relationships, who is it that chooses to respect? Do others see me as that type of person? Do they, when they meet me, do they feel respect from me? Or do I always assume that I should be receiving respect from another person? Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6 says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." May we be like-minded one toward another, and with one mind and one mouth glorify God. You see, like-minded is not necessarily thinking alike. It's not necessarily all doing and being alike. It's not that cookie cutter picture, but it's having a like goal. It's having a like vision that we're all pointed towards. And some of us may be coming from different directions, but we're all pointed to the same goal. And so when I see that your goal is my goal and we're both pointing to the same goal, then we can encourage one another, and I can encourage you, and I receive that from you, and you receive it from me, and together we focus on that goal instead of our differences and how we're trying to get there. And it's exciting when we have the same goal. It's exciting when we're working together, and I sense that from you, and together we're pointed in the same direction. Be like-minded with one goal in mind. Second part of the verse, I want to read the second part of the verse is, "Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things." So mind not high things, what does that mean? Again, in my words, I would maybe say, don't pursue high things. And maybe we have to figure out what are some of those high things that we possibly pursue. One of the things I think about is public office. We all desire, or we can desire, recognition. And there's a lot of celebrities and people who have a lot of fame and do a lot of things, and they're looked up to. And people are often idolized by what they've done or who they are or what for team they play for or what they've accomplished. And those people are lifted up. And sometimes we can get caught up in that, and we desire affirmation from others. We desire to have honors. I want something that I can put on the wall of my office, right, that says, Kendall did such and such. He accomplished this. And we do desire that. And I think we need to be careful not to get caught up in that. Mind not high things. Don't pursue honors. Don't pursue public offices, even. I think we need to be careful in how we get wrapped up in society, in our local government, in our state government. As Christians, we need to be careful not get caught up into that, but keep in mind our end goal. What are we focusing on? What is our point, our purpose here on earth? And also not pursuing wealth. Minding high things, sometimes being just in general driven by and focusing on earthly things, whatever that may be for you. It's different for all of us. But am I focused on earthly things? Is that what drives me? You see, often when a person is pursuing and wanting to be known by a rich and powerful person, it's because they hope in some way that they can also receive some of that fame. So even though I will never be that, whatever it may be, that basketball player, or I may never be that public speaker, I want you to know that even though I'm not him, I'm a personal friend of him. See, I have his contact in my phone. We text all the time. You see what I mean? It gives me a little bit of an elevated feeling just knowing that I know that person. And I like for you to know that. Being focused on something that isn't Christ-like, something that is earthly success. So how do we not mind these high things? Several suggestions. The first one is value the people around me. Value the people at church. Value the people in your workplace. The people who you rub shoulders with day to day. See value in them. They may not be a famous person, but see value in the people that are around you and invest in their lives. The second one is have a life's goal of helping the discouraged, struggling, and poor. A life's goal of helping others. A life's goal of giving, not always being the taker, but looking for ways to give to other people. Who are those who are in need? Who are those who are discouraged? Who are the ones that take a lot of effort? And pour into them. Find ways to encourage them. You see, it's much more rewarding to give, to be a vessel that is giving, a cup that's overflowing and giving out to others, than to constantly be looking for ways, how can I be served? How can I get my little boost for the week and feel like I'm someone? How can I serve others? Mind not high things. Third part of this verse, be of the same mind, one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be a friend to the humble. Be a friend to those who need a friend, and not just to those who are fun and entertaining for me, but be a friend to those who really need it, who really value a friendship. You see, sometimes I think we get our mind that to condescend, I need to lower myself down so that I can serve. And I don't think that's what he's referring to in this passage when he says condescend to men of low estate. It's not a lowering of myself, but it's a whole change of mind. It's not just that I'm willing to be associated with and to serve you, but it's having a lifestyle even that reflects that. And so it's a way I live my life, not just the way that I relate to other people, but it's in everything I do, having that mindset of serving others and being a common person that other people can appreciate and feel respect from. It's also not having a superior, better than thou attitude that people sense when they meet me. He really has his act together. He really is somebody. He has really accomplished this. Look at that business that he has. Look at what he's done. And it's easy to portray that to people. But do people sense that I have an open relationship? My heart is open to you and I care about you. Or do people feel like he's accomplished? He has it all together and I could never be a friend of his. How do we condescend to men of low estate? First one is pursue people and things that are humble. So pursue people that are humble, first of all. Seek out people who you sense a humility in and be friends to them. Seek out things that don't intimidate other people, whether that's our homes or our whatever it may be, vehicles. You put in whatever fits for you. But pursue people and things that are humble. The second one, be willing to do menial things, tasks that need to be done. And maybe there's not a lot of recognition there. Who's the person that does things behind the scenes at church, but that need to be done? Do those things. Be willing to do those things and do them willingly. Third one, associate yourself with those who aren't in the in crowd. So be willing to associate with them. Take those people under your wing. And the people that you see are need friends and are maybe new in church or don't have a lot of friends or don't attract the crowd. Seek those out. Seek those people out and invest in them and serve them. Last part of this verse, be not wise in your own conceits. Don't have a proud opinion of yourself. It's so easy to get caught up in this, just thinking, done pretty good here. I've done pretty well. I've accomplished this, or this is going well. And even though I think we should live life well, and we should do our best in all that we do, being careful not to receive the praise for that and to allow the focus to be turned back on me, but to reflect it back to God, saying, it's because of God that this happened or that happened. And turn it back to him. Allow him to receive the honor and glory for that. Be not wise in your own conceits. When we're wise in our own conceits, sometimes we have a feeling of superiority. And so I feel like, you know, I have some experience in this area. And I've been around the block a few times. And I know how this should be. And so I have this air that people sense that I have some answers here. If you would ask, I could tell you. I could help you out. Do people sense that from me, or do they sense a genuineness and an honesty and just an openness that I have a few things to learn yet? And there's, in fact, I have a lot of things to learn. I was recently following a podcast on lawn care actually, and this man went and interviewed another large landscape company in the area. And as that was showing him around the office, and I watched this, I mean, it was amazing, just the office complex they had. And yeah, here are the salesman team, they're in here in these rooms, and it was quite the complex, and it was really, really nice, you know. But the man that was giving the tour, the owner, he kept saying, he said, well, you know, it's, I still got a lot to learn. He said, I'm not done learning. He said, I've learned a lot, but he said, I'm not done. He said, I still have a lot to learn. Can I keep that in front of myself? No matter where I'm at, if it's in my job or if it's in my family or at church, whatever it is, do people sense that from me? I still have something else to learn. There's still more. There's still ways that I could grow. I'm not at the end of my Christian walk. There's still things that I have to learn. What have you learned? What can I learn from you? Do people sense that from me? Not having a superior feeling. Being wise in your own conceits is sometimes being headstrong and unteachable. You see, I've got my mind made up. I've got it figured out. I tried that, it didn't work. I tried this, it worked. And so now, this is the way to go. This is the way to go. This is the right way. No, your way, your way of doing things is okay, but I tried that. This is the way to go. And so I have that unteachable spirit, that spirit that says, no, I'm not open to what you have to say. I'm not open to hearing from you. I've got it figured out. Is that what people sense from me? Or do they sense an open spirit, a spirit that's teachable? I sit there and say, ah, how did you do that? What did you do to accomplish this? How are you so positive when you're facing these things in life? Do I have a teachable spirit? I always enjoy sitting down and talking to people who I know a whole lot more than I do and are a lot more experienced. And then sometimes I'm humbled by the fact that they're asking questions and you feel like, I don't have a whole lot to give, right? But it makes you feel valuable as a person that they would even engage with me and ask questions. Am I that type of person that's teachable? So, what can we do not to be wise in our own conceits? First of all, respect others' ideas. Respect their ideas. Honor them by saying, that was a good idea, brother. What you had to say there, or how you led in that meeting, or what you proposed, that was an excellent idea. And I hadn't thought of that. Can we do that? Give compliments to others. You did well at fellowship dinner or whatever it was, the way you led out at that activity. You did well. Can we respect others' ideas and the things that other people do and show honor to them? The other one, and I covered this a little bit in the last part, but have an inquisitive, teachable spirit. Ask and learn from other people. Don't be wise in your own conceits. Don't think that I've got it all together. They have something that they can learn from me. But be willing to be inquisitive. Ask others what they're involved with. What are you doing? How did your week go? Oh, how did you do that? Learn from other people. Just doesn't always have to be just spiritual things, but even just learning day-to-day things. Be inquisitive. Have a teachable spirit. There's a passage in Isaiah, a warning. And right before this passage, he's warning that of different sins. And he talks about the sin of darkness being called light and light being called darkness and just flip-flopping all those things. And things that are good are called bad and things that are bad are called good. And we see that in today's society. Everything is flip-flopped. The things that should be right, they are said to be wrong. And the things that are really sin, are said to be the right way to go, and we need to embrace these things. And then he says this in Isaiah 5, verse 21, says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. You see, I have this tunnel vision because I'm not open to others. I'm not open to hearing other truths. I'm not teachable. I have this tunnel vision. I'm wise in my own eyes, and I'm prudent in my own sight. Because I have it figured out. I think this is so important in a church body, in a church, because when a church body is trying to work together and everybody's trying to be on the top of the pile, everybody's trying to be that somebody, everybody wants that plaque to put on their wall as such, when everybody's trying to be like that, it's hard to have brotherly love. It's hard to appreciate one another. It's hard to grow as a body when that's our goal. When everybody's trying to lift themselves up, seek their own glory. But you see, when we're all serving, when we're all looking for ways to learn from one another, to encourage one another, to speak into each other's lives, to give, and to be just pour into others' lives, the body of Christ is then, it's an exciting thing to be a part of.
because we have this end goal in mind. And as believers, we're all focused on that. We're all going the same direction. And we can help each other along. When somebody falls down, we pull them up. And when I'm down, I can reach up, grab a hand, and encourage each other. And we can press towards that goal. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you. Lord, I'm grateful for this body of believers. Lord, thank you for this church, and thank you for each one here. Lord, I pray that you would work in our lives and hearts. May we continue to grow. Lord, help us to never become stagnant in our Christian life and think that we have it all together or that we have it accomplished. But Lord, help us to be people who are teachable, people who have hearts that are open to learn and to give and to encourage others. And Lord, may other people, as they encounter us at Sandy Ridge, may they sense that. Lord, may they sense a spirit of respect and love towards them. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to further your kingdom through that. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.